Nehemiah chapter 4, where we're going to be looking tonight, beginning in verse 10. Beginning in verse 10, just continuing this story about just the challenges that were faced in rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. This task which was big, this task which was difficult, this task which God had given Nehemiah to do as he led the people in this. And we come to a time here in chapter 4, even as we remember a few weeks ago, we looked at the first half of chapter 4 and just the struggles that they had as they were being ridiculed and started to face some difficulty and some persecution. And as we finish this chapter, realizing just maybe how discouraged maybe they became with the work that they had to do. As I thought even this week about some of these things, I said, well, it's just a wall. Even for them, thinking maybe it's just not worth it. You know, maybe we ought to just go back to, you know, to what we did before. And we know that's not an uncommon reaction or thought, because we can see even as the nation of Israel left Egypt and they said, maybe we should just go back. It was easier there. Yep, we were slaves. Yep, there were problems and there were issues, but it was simpler. We weren't facing some of the same struggles and troubles that we have. And we see just their discouragement and just how Nehemiah in his leadership, and also them as they came together to encourage and to help one another, how God strengthened them for the work that they had to do. Because I think in Nehemiah chapter 1, in verse 9, we just understand part of that task where Nehemiah, just in praying, he says, I will gather them from there and will bring them to the place where I have chosen to cause my name to dwell. And just the word of God said, that's what Jerusalem was. This is the place where God has chosen his name to dwell. And even realizing in a few weeks back in chapter 4, verse 2, where it says, can they offer sacrifices? The fact that in their oppression and in their difficulty and in this bullying and difficulty that they faced, just kind of keeping them from worshiping God, keeping them from having all the joy and freedom that they desired and they looked for. And we get to hear in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 10, and just see how God strengthened them to move forward. But let's once again go to the Lord in prayer. Just ask him to bless this time that we spend in his word. Our God, we again thank you for all that you are. Is in us reflected about the hope that we have in you, Lord, the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And Lord, you have given us your word that we might know you even better. Lord, that our faith would grow and increase as we better understand your love, your sovereignty, and your grace, your power, and how it is that we might live for you, knowing that you care for us. And Lord, you are striving for us, and we rejoice in these things, and we are thankful for your word. Just help us as we study it tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So in Nehemiah chapter 4, we'll be beginning in verse 10 through 12, and just an analysis of the situation. I thought about trying to come up with some creative way just to talk about, I don't know if it would be a Twitter feed or what it is, just three different perspectives on the situation that is at hand. So we'll read verses 10 to 12 together. Thus in Judah it was said, the strength of the burden bearers is failing, yet there is much rubbish, and we ourselves are unable to rebuild the wall. Our enemies said, they will not know or see until we come among them, kill them, and put a stop to the work. When the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times, they will come up against us from every place where you may turn. Now, that's in the middle of a sentence, but that's where we're going to stop. In looking at those things, just three different perspectives. One, we begin with just the people who were in Judah, those who were building, those who were working on the wall. They saw the task and said, The strength of the burden bearers is failing. We are weak. We're tired. We are weary under the work that is there, and there's much rubbish. There is still a lot of work to do. There's too much work. We don't have enough strength. The idea that we can't do this. We are unable to rebuild the wall. That task, they were seeing just how massive it was and the difficulty that was there. Not just the physical labor, but the adversity that they faced and the resistance that was there. They were getting tired and they were growing discouraged. In verse 11, we get a feed there from the enemies. Well, the enemies, those who were outside, we look even the wealthy men of Samaria, maybe from chapter or from verse 2, saying, what are these feeble Jews doing? But they come in and they say, well, they'll never see us coming. We're going to put an end to their work, and if we have to, we'll put an end to them. We'll kill them. We're going to stop this work. Enough is enough. And that's the enemy who is out there talking, planning, plotting against those who are trying to accomplish this task and do the work that they've been given to do. Trying to establish a place that's safe for them. Trying to establish a place where God can dwell and they can worship. The enemies are standing against them and rising up. Their lives are in danger. Not just whether they'll make it difficult to accomplish the task, but they're making the task completely more dangerous as they're moving forward. And then we see they've got some allies. Other Jews, that it says, who lived near them, they came and told us, near these enemies, they came and told us 10 times, they're going to come up against you from every place, everywhere that you may turn. So they said, well, you better get ready. They can and they will come from anywhere. They can and they will come from everywhere. You won't see them coming. It doesn't matter where you go. Every single turn, you don't know where, what corner danger lurks around. It may rise up and become a problem for you. It will threaten your life with loss. You know, as we look at this and think about these things, we have a task that is ours to do. We can look at it and say maybe it's a physical task, it's a work, it's a labor. We've maybe talked before, particularly even thinking about reformers, when we think about Reformation Sunday and things like that, and they look at just the task that God's given us to do while we're on this earth, a physical task, work that needs to be done. And to say, I'm going to do that faithfully, I'm going to do that as unto the Lord, that the name of Christ will be exalted in the things that I do and the way that I do the things that I do. And that may come with some opposition. Maybe not always a whole lot of opposition, but it may come with opposition. We also realize there's a spiritual battle that we face. Even when we're maybe getting discouraged, we're looking at things and saying, well, maybe it'd be easier if I just didn't care about the things that I want to and need to be pursuing. Pursuing that which is righteous, that which is holy. Living a life that is set apart for God. He said, that's the work that you have to do, realizing that spiritually in that battle, our enemy can come from anywhere, at any time, around any corner, lurking like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know, the struggles, the battles that we face. And the idea we need to be ready. We have the warning in God's word more than 10 times, telling us to prepare ourselves, telling us to walk with the Spirit, telling us to be holy, for our God is holy. As we look at those things, there's the challenge. We also understand, even as they said, we can't do it. There's too much work. There's not enough strength. Well, absolutely. The things that we've given to do those things faithfully, to do those things as unto the Lord, with righteousness and holiness is a large task. If we're trying to bear that burden and do that task in our own strength, we're not strong enough. The task is too great. We can't do it ourselves. And we rely on and we rest in our God to help us. Before I get too far ahead, we'll move to the next point. An army was stationed, as we see in verses 13 through 15. An army was stationed. I'm not sure that's the best word. It started with A, but it's maybe more of a militia than an army. But in verse 13, it says, "Then I stationed men in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, the exposed places, and I stationed the people in families with their swords, spears, and bows. When I saw their fear, I rose and spoke to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses." When our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan, then all of us returned to the wall, each one to his work. Looking at that, realizing that an army was stationed, the first thing Nehemiah did here was address the areas that were most vulnerable. He addressed the areas that were the most vulnerable. He said, well, here's the lower parts of the wall, places where they were exposed, much easier to climb over and to get in. Yes, the enemy could attack from anywhere at any time, but the enemy, if there's an easy way in, they're probably going to choose the easy way in. Nehemiah located those places. He found those places, and he said, we are going to station some of these men, maybe even some of those soldiers and people that would have come with him, people who were really fitted for that task and for that work, we're going to put them in these places where the wall is lower, and we need a little bit of extra defense. Maybe not being able to stand even on top of whatever wall was there and see the enemy coming. If they were surprised, they'd be better able to defend themselves than maybe the average person building the wall would have done. The second thing he did, he assigned each one to their own place. He assigned each one to his own place. He said, I stationed the people in families in verse 13 with their swords, spears, and bows. Not everyone went to the exposed places, maybe those weak places. But in verse 14, he tells them, I want you to fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. So I'm going to station you in the place that maybe is the most important to you, the most meaningful to you. I'm going to station you to fight in that place which you look and say, this is my own. These are people who I love. These are people who I care about. Not that they necessarily wouldn't fight for anybody else, and we'll see that they were willing to do that later. But to say, if I'm going to fight to the death, if I'm going to go through all of these things, more likely I'm going to do it for those who I love, more so or more fiercely even than anybody else. Not that I don't care about anybody else, but that's my wife, that's my kids, that's my brother, that's my sister, that's my house, and I will defend it. You know, strategically, he looked at that and said, we need to put those people in this place because there's a battle, and if each one would stand up and fight for their own place, and in their own place, there's a better chance of victory for each one or them even collectively as a whole. You know, and just kind of looking at that and thinking about those things and fact that he stationed, you know, a defense around the city. And realizing just the idea of addressing areas which are most vulnerable. You know, again, we're not building a wall, but yet again, we have a work that God has given for us to do. You know, if we look at it, even just the idea of being righteous and holy as we walk before and with the Lord, you know, I assume you know the areas that are most vulnerable. We know those areas in our own hearts, in our own lives, or even as I would go out and do the work that needs to be done, where do I need the most help? So I need to address those areas and make a defense, to set things up, to say this is probably where an attack's going to come because I know these are weak spots. And as they establish that and say there are methods, there are things, just thinking what sorts of things might I do to protect myself against the attacks that may come that will weaken and potentially destroy the work that God has given for me to do. We need to address those things and also realize assigning each one to their own place. And we need to strive. And yep, I need to concern myself with each one of you. And, you know, I love you, and your soul matters to me. Your righteousness and your holiness matters to me. But I need to be very, very careful that I guard my own heart. And I take care of the place that I need to take care of, that God has given to me, even my own personal holiness and in my walk with Him. And as we do that and we strive towards holiness, each one together, then we strive toward holiness and sanctification together as a church. And we'll see that that happens even as we continue on in our text and in the labor that they did. So they addressed the areas that were vulnerable and they assigned each one their own place. There's a key statement. And you can probably figure it out what it is in your own just reading. But in verse 14, just looking at those things, the analysis of the situation, and as he assigned them a task that was given, he says, I want you to think about this. Remember this one thing. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. In all of these, I'm giving you a task. You have a significant task to do, and I want you to labor hard with all your might to accomplish these things. You're going to work at building the wall. You're also going to defend your family. He says, and as you do those things, I want you to remember the Lord who was great and awesome. Important statements as we look at chapter 4 here. You know, earlier, just a few things. I don't think he just throws them in there, but they're foundational as he is moving forward. Because what does that accomplish for them when they remember that the Lord is who is great and awesome? One, it's going to remove their fear. He says in verse 14, it said, when I saw their fear, I spoke to them. He said, don't be afraid. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. He says, and when you remember those things, it's going to remove your fear. It's going to give you courage. It's going to give you boldness. It's going to help you in the task. And then he says it also strengthens them for the fight. It removes their fear and it strengthens them for the fight. Remember the Lord and then go out and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. If you remember the Lord, you know you're not doing this alone. God is there fighting for you. God is there fighting with you. He will give you strength. And as we strive to do the work God's given us to do, the battles that we might face, the temptations that are there, spiritual or physical, the attacks that maybe would come against the church and His truth from the outside, how are we going to stand against those things and speak the truth in light of what is the attacks that are coming? He says, well, it's going to happen when we remember and we focus on the Lord who is great and awesome. As we study even in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord, the knowledge of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Remembering those things that are true about God, even as we talk about His sovereignty, we talk about His, you know, the joy and the hope that we have in Him, the confidence that is ours in Him. He is great and He is often. Don't you ever forget that. And if we don't forget that either, then when we go out to that task, when we face opposition from whatever source, whether it's from the world, whether it's just an attack on our own spiritual lives and our soul, so well, we we'll be able to stand against those things because we're not just looking at the enemy, we're looking at the God who saves, the God who delivers, the God who gives grace, the God who will not forsake us, the God who will not leave us, and the God who loves us. And we think about how great he is, we have confidence, and we can move. Again, I'm thinking of this morning's sermon, boldness to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Man, I can do that. I have a great and I have an awesome God. And as we go, he's removed their fear, strengthens them for the fight. But as they go forward, they remember our God is great and awesome. But he realizes we've got some work to do. We better prepare and plan for this, or things aren't going to go the way that we want them to go. And we realize there is an alertness as they did their work. And we see that in verses 16 and 17. Through 23. We'll keep going all the way to the end of the chapter. So verse 16 says, "From that day on, half of my servants carried on the work, while half of them held the spears, the shields, the bows, and the breastplates, and the captains were behind the whole house of Judah. Those who were rebuilding the wall and those who carried burdens took their load with one hand, doing the work in the other, holding a weapon. As for the builders, each wore his sword girded at his side as he built, while the trumpeter stood near me. I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, 'The work is great and extensive, and we are separated on the wall far from one another. At whatever place you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us.' So we carried on the work, with half of them holding spears from dawn until the stars appeared. At that time I also said to the people, 'Let each man with his servant spend the night within Jerusalem, so that they may be a guard for us by night and a laborer by day.' So neither I, my brothers, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me, none of us removed our clothes. Each took his weapon, even to the water." We realize just the alertness that they had as they did their work. Again, I'm laboring. I'm walking through this world. I'm doing what the Lord would have me to do. But an attack might come at any time from an enemy. And that's what they're prepared for, being alert, never ever dropping their guard, losing sight of the reality of the danger that was there. He describes that to them. Half of them did work, while half held spears, shields, bows, and the captains were behind the whole house of Judah. Again, those armies and the things that they did. Slowing down the work, if only half of them are working at a time, but they were guarding, they were looking out for each other, protecting each other so that the work could be accomplished. Verses 17 and 18 are interesting. Some, they're carrying burdens. Just imagine, if you were carrying something, part of your job was to carry stones, your job was to carry anything else, you're carrying something with a sword in the other hand, dropping things off, always with your sword ready to fight. You certainly would think, I can set this down for a minute. Nope. They were working, and they were carrying a sword. And I was just thinking, I said, it's kind of like watching a mother hold a child and get anything done. You know, you're, all right, still being able to make dinner, whatever it is that's happening. I'm just saying, I've got two things that I'm concerned about. One is the faithfulness to the task, and the other is to protect myself and to protect those who are around me. Realize they were always ready. Wherever they went, whatever they were working. The builders, they had them on the side. They evidently needed both hands, but they always had their sword with them. Maybe even in half labored, they had swords ready at any minute, and the builders, they could drop everything and they could grab their sword in a second if they had to. But they were always ready, always prepared. We think about this. What's the best way for us to prepare ourselves against the attacks that may come to us. We look at it as a church or just an attack on the truth of God's word. Well, if it's coming from outside, well, we need to know what the truth is so that we might be able to defend it. We spend time in God's word and understand what it is that God says and what it is that he has made known to us. And then we will be ready for an attack. Look at Jesus even in his temptation. How did he respond? How did he answer when an attack came against the truth or even in a manner of temptation? Well, he says, this is the truth. This is what God's word says. And he held fast and he felt firm in those things. He did not sin. And for them, even again, the Lord is great and awesome. How do you get ready for those things? We prepare ourselves through a knowledge of the word, even call this a sword. I always have the sword in my hand. I always carry the sword with me wherever I go that I might be able to stand against the attacks that come against my soul or against God's truth. We also pray. We are ready. We submit ourselves to the Lord, seeking his will. And whatever it is that he might desire, we set our minds, we set our hearts on God and his purposes. And then we're ready for the task as we think about him, even above the task or above the enemy that we face. But they were always ready. With a sword, when the enemy came, they were ready to fight. And we also realized that they rallied together when the alarm sounded. We realized none of them were alone, for they realized that God was with them, but they also understood that they were alone, because in verse 19, there's a lot of work to be done, and we're separated all over the wall. He separated them out by houses and families. My house is over there, your house is over there, somebody else's house is over there, and they're all spread out. So what happens when somebody is under attack and they're in real trouble? We're going to blow the trumpet and everybody's going to come and assist the one, because we realize this fight is not simply ours alone. We're trying to do the work that God has for us to do, and we are trying to rebuild these walls, that this is a place where God dwells. You know, and looking at that and just realizing the importance of those things. And the idea that sometimes, every now and then, we're all doing that fight, trying to live sanctified, holy lives, walking in righteousness and walking in truth. Every now and then, though, the trumpet may sound and we realize there's someone else who needs our help. Coming alongside of them and bearing the burden that they have. Helping them and encouraging in their need when they are discouraged. Well, maybe we look and say, I think they're losing a battle. How is it that I might come alongside and help them? That's significant as we rally together, because in that next statement that they give in verse 20, he says, we rally together. Why? Would you rally together? We rally together because our God will fight for us. The second statement that is made, that our God will fight for us. That we are not in this battle alone, but God is fighting for us. This great and this awesome God. As we are fighting, God is fighting. As we are striving to do the things God has us to do and to resist the enemies that may come against us, God is fighting, that his purpose is accomplished. And we look at what his purpose is for us. His purpose is that we are justified, that we are sanctified, that we are glorified as he has called us to be his own. That's what he desires. That's what he wants. That's what he's working for in us. And as he's fighting and we are striving, we realize that he gives victory, that he fights for us. And as they, again, look here, say, defend your house and go to help others when the alarm sounds. So we're gonna say, so we carried on in verse 21. Half holding spears from dawn until the stars appeared, they just kept on going. Again, defending themselves, defending others, but more than anything else, we are simply relying on the Lord. And a great thing we see in Nehemiah, you know, in some ways, you know, we look at and taught that let go and let God, they certainly did not let go of the task that God had given them to do. I mean, they were working doubly hard to make sure they were protected and to make sure that they were being diligent to get the job done, even for him to say, we never removed our clothes. They had a day and night we labored. I don't know if or when they ever got a chance to sleep. But some of them, they work all day, laborers by day, and guarding us by night, taking turns, maybe sleeping once every 48 hours. The idea to say this is their physical battle in building a wall, but again, for us, just that alertness and that labor to say it is work to stand against those things that would attack the truths of God's word, that would attack the church and the battle that takes place in our very own souls. And we are thankful, you know, just like Nehemiah and everybody else is, even as we look at just our conclusion, to ask the question as we think about our own lives, is knowing that God is great and awesome. Do we live confident lives, resting in his power to accomplish his purposes? Can I say, you know, I have a great and awesome God, and I believe that. And I am confident that because he is great and he is awesome, he will accomplish all his purposes. For that reason, I put my hand to the plow and I labor and I labor and I labor to accomplish what it is that he's given for me to do. And then also knowing that our God will fight for us. How is it that we are preparing for the task that is set before us? You know, do I, even as Proverbs says over and over again, if you've been there, you know, listen to my words. You know, keep these things in your heart. Cherish them, for in them you'll find life. For in them you're going to find the strength. In them you'll be able to resist the temptations that come your way. And when the battle seems and the task seems very, very large, will you find your strength to accomplish what needs to be done? And that's really just in the disciplines to say, I know God and I trust in his word and I'm seeking to know him and I'm seeking to trust him more by being in his word. And I spend time with him in prayer, pleading with him because I know that I am unable to rebuild the wall all by myself. I need his strength. I need his spirit to accomplish these things. And so as we look at this and ask, how is it that I prepare for the task that's before me? What am I doing to protect my own soul? What is it that I'm doing to prepare that I might be able to work diligently and accomplish that which he's given me to do? And we see that just in the building of the wall. For them, a very practical thing, something that had significance to them, for us, maybe even looking at it a little bit more spiritually. So what is the battle that we face for righteousness in our own lives? Also maybe practically to say, how is it that we stand in battle for his truth when it comes under attack by saying, well, the word of God means what I think it means, or it means what I want it to mean. And some of those things that just are out there to say, nope, that cannot happen. And I will fight for that no matter what may come. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Our God, we thank you again for tonight. And Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for your word, which strengthens us for the task that you've given for us to do. And we thank you for the promise and just the knowledge that you are a strong, you are a great, and you are an awesome God. And Lord, we walk alongside of you. You are fighting for us. You are working in us. And Lord, as we look at that, might give us great confidence and even greater motivation to be diligent in our preparation for the work that you've given us to do, and also prepare ourselves against the attacks that may come as we seek to do your will day by day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.